Please take a seat for the readings.
Orini te whanau, a reading from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and righteousness, uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Te rongapai tapu ki te ritinga a Mark, te tahi upoko, ka timata rua te kauma tahi. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the 21st verse.
Praise and glory to God.
Jesus drives out an evil spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ.
How about that? Do you know it's that echo? Can you hear the echo? Yeah, strange, eh? Oh, well. I think it's just because somehow, you know, this whole building has opened up over the summer, and now there's this beautiful reverberation. Well, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, how are ya? All right. Very good. Excellent. Yeah, it is good to be here. It's good to be together as the people of God. I went up to Driving Creek this summer, so my daughter is Potter, my eldest, and she was teaching for 3 weeks in this place up in the top of the Coromandel called Driving Creek, which was built by a kind of eccentric guy, really, called Barry Brickell. I don't know if many of you will know him. And he was a railway enthusiast, and he built this track, and he was also a potter, and so, and he kind of built everything, you know, on this bit of land that he got, which he also preserved, you know, kept the forest that was there and everything. You know, it's all into regenerating because there was an ancient Kauri forest that had been, you know, chopped down. So he's into regenerating that. And he built the kilns, first of all, to make the bricks to build the buildings and to make more kilns so that he could make more bricks to, you know, and to do the whole track and everything. And now it's this kind of potter's paradise, and it is a beautiful place to go. So it was really lovely to be up there. But I got a camera, and I took a camera for Christmas, and I got into photography, and I took hundreds of photos. So if anyone knows what to do with hundreds, how do you start editing that down? Anyway, it takes, obviously, you know, first rule perhaps of photography, don't take too many photos, I don't know. But there's something about photography that I really love, because it captures light, doesn't it? That's what it is. It's all about light. And light, and the light up there, as you know, up in the Coromandel, is beautiful. You know, it's very bright in the summer, you know, high noon or whatever, it's just so stark, and everything is revealed in the light really brightly. And then again, when the sun's going down, you know, you've got that sideways light, and you've got this beautiful definition between dark and light, you know, the shadow, as the shadows lengthen, but the light's still really sharp and really kind of warm and beautiful. And photography is all about that. It's about trying to, initially on film, or initially actually on bits of metal coated in various things, but then we invented film, and, you know, you just let that light fall on this piece of paper, or this piece of film, or whatever it is, or now a sensor, you let that light fall on it, and it produces these incredible images, doesn't it? It's how our eyes work as well, and everything. Well, as we look at this gospel story today, I was thinking about light, and the reason is because where the light shines, the darkness disappears. You know, on the film even, it burns away that bit of darkness and creates a patch of light. You know, it's just, yeah, that idea that where there is light, darkness has to flee. You know, if you've got a dark room and you light a candle, the darkness has to flee from the light. It just cannot exist there. And light has this wonderful quality of picking out beauty and of cleaning out dark places and cleansing them. So when Jesus walks into, in our gospel story, he walks into this synagogue and he starts preaching. At the beginning and end of the passage, people are saying, it's like the passage is bookended with people saying, he's teaching in a new way, with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees, but with this authority. Because, and they say it before he does it, and then after they do it, he does it, they say it even more. Because he casts out demons. He brings light into dark places. He teaches in such a way that the darkness is driven out. And it's not surprising, is it? I love, you know, in John's gospel where Jesus says, I am. And he says, I am seven times, you know, I am the bread of life. I am the, you know, the water of salvation. I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. That's one of the I ams. And the whole gospel of John starts with those famous words, you know, in the beginning was the word, and word was with God, and the word was God, the word being Jesus, you know, and then the word comes down and steps into our existence, becomes one of us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it says that in him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The life of Christ, his life, is the light of all people. Where there's light in our lives, that's the light of Christ. That's the life of Christ. He is the, his life is the light of all people. And then he says, and then it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And that's the thing, isn't it? Stick a light in a dark place, the darkness flees. The darkness cannot overcome it. You can't stick darkness in a place to overcome light, but you stick a bit of light in a place, and the darkness is overcome. So I remember, here he is walking into this place, teaching, and his teaching itself is driving out demons, you know, is bringing light. And then there's this person, and he says, you know, okay, be quiet, get out of him, and out the demon goes. And whatever you think about, you know, demons and angels and all that sort of thing, we all know that there's darkness and light. We all know that there is good in this world, and we all know that there is kindness and light and life. And we all know that there is stuff which is not good and is damaging and is hard and is life-sapping and takes life away rather than brings life. I think one of the best bits of advice, or two of the best bits of advice I got in how to deal with these sorts of situations that Jesus was dealing with. So for example, I may have shared this before. I got called to, one of my kids had a friend who got into Ouija boards and all this sort of thing, a couple of friends who got into them. And it was all fun for a while, and then the stuff, you know how it is, it sucks you in, and then and you think you're in control, and then you find out, oh crap, I'm messing with something that is bigger than me, that I don't understand, and I don't have control over it. And things started moving around in their room, and they were freaked out. They were these two girls, these friends of my daughter. And so one of them then had this bright idea and said, oh, your dad's a minister, isn't he? He's a vicar. Can he come and pray for our place? And so I was like, yeah, sure, definitely. And I thought, how do I do this? Well, I've got Jesus' example, and I've got the example of people that have followed Jesus. And two of the best bits of advice, like I say, that I'd been given, one was, and I didn't do this, but one was, if there's a real tricky situation, go in and break bread, because the blood of Christ, who died for us, you know, has conquered death and evil and sin and the devil. And so that's a really good way to do it. And I totally believe that. And that's what a friend of mine used to do. And it's great. And another friend of mine said, who's a, you know, runs a church and stuff, he said, you know what? He said, I find that the more we worship God, the more we lift up his name, the more that we turn to the light and let his light shine in us, the less we have to worry, actually, about the devil. We don't have to be, like, investigating and finding out too much and, you know, and then naming and rebuking things, certain things. You know, you can get a little bit too into it, I'll just say. You know what I mean? And sometimes, again, that can be a little bit drawing you in and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. But actually, he said, all you need to do is walk in there with Jesus, the light of the world. Lift up Jesus. Anyway, I liked those two bits of advice. And I like this story about Jesus who just walks in and he's teaching and he's preaching and he's speaking and being the light of the world. And then when he sees something, it's like, out, that's all he has to say. I don't need to know any information about out. Bye. You know, end. Let's carry on with the life and the goodness. And so that's what I did in this situation. You know, just walk in, and I think I probably obviously prayed, sprinkled a bit of holy water around, I think, maybe, and blessed the place and lifted up the name of Jesus in that place, because Jesus is the light of the world, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And so it was just, you know, in the name of Jesus, if there's anything that needs to go, go. And, you know, and they didn't have any problems afterwards, praise the Lord. So I just love this story of light shining in the darkness and the darkness not able to overcome it. A little bit like what Wes was saying earlier. If there's things that we're carrying or if there's darkness in our lives or in our situations, and there is, of course, I wonder what kind of darkness we face, maybe in our own lives, our own hearts or minds, or maybe in the situations around us. Well, let's pray that the light and life of Christ, that life which is the light of all people, which we carry, the light of Christ will shine in those dark places and see them changed, see things revealed that need to be revealed, uncovered, cleansed, removed that need to be, you know, see the darkness chased away by the light, because the darkness cannot overcome it. Should we just pray maybe for a few moments now? And perhaps just lift to the Lord any places like that, whether it's in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, or in our situations. Lord, we lift to you, who are the light of the world, our thoughts, and that we just pray that you would shine into the darkness. We kind of lift those dark areas to you, as it were. Let them be exposed to the light, which is your life. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the life and light of the world, that your life is the light of all people, and that you shine in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. You've broken the power of death and of evil and of devil and of sin. And so cleanse us by your light and your life. Forgive us where we've done wrong. Where there's wrong done to us, forgive those people, Lord. Bring healing, bring light, bring life. Where there are things that are going on that are not good, that are sort of hidden in the darkness, shine your light into those areas. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world, that you shine in the lives of your people, in our lives. May we stand in your light more and more and more, and bring your life to others. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Bring light to the darkness. You shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is here. So lift up your hearts and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, Father. You are the source of life for all creation, and you made us in your own image. When we sinned and turned away, you sent us Jesus, your Son, who became one of us, so that we might become one with you. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we worship you and praise your name, together saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to you, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and celebrating his bursting from the tomb, we ask you to accept this our sacrifice of praise. By your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ, and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favor on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, united in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven. We worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. And we sit or kneel to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread.
Haere mai e te kāhui a te atua. Haere mai ki te tepu a te karaiti. Come, God's people. Come and share Christ's heavenly food.
You never stop working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you
that you shine in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the light in our hearts, Lord, that your life is the light that shines in our hearts. So we pray that we'd know more of that this week as we go out into the world, into our lives and families. We pray that you would be shining through us with your light and life. In your name we pray. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you and those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brothers and sisters. So, Wes.
Birthdays. Birthdays and celebrations. Some of you may be in holidays, so it could be a big wrap today for the present, the past. And two couples here. That looks significant.
We had celebrated 27 years 2 weeks ago. 1918.
Celebration of a wedding.
Yeah. 53 years.
And we did 54 years.
any rise on that?
We're just starting.
Yeah. Okay, a cappella today.
Celebrations today, may God bless you, we pray. Live for Jesus, dear friends, May he guide you each day.
I think there was an overabundance of teachers in that group, and they all seem to have wedding anniversaries in January, in the holidays, so then go away. John.
Wes, I wasn't going to do this, but your words at the beginning of the service have prompted me, and what Mark said, followed up with, has sort of got me out of my seat. On Wednesday, our family gathered together to celebrate, to give thanks for 1 year since Marion died. And though we were disappointed initially because we'd been praying for her healing and she died, we got the lovely scripture from 2 Corinthians 5 that said that death is swallowed up by life. And so that's given us the joy. And talking about burdens, the burden's a mixed one. You know, it's, you feel it there, but it's not burdensome. And so on Wednesday, the great word from the God, and I'd say look in the scriptures for that comfort that you need. From John, Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 24, where Jesus prays to the Father that he would give those who... No, that those whom he had, the Father had given him, would be with him where he is to be able to see his glory. And that's been the great joy of our gathering together and having laughter and tears all mixed up together. And a real word of thanks, now this is why I want to say it here, is that the support of a loving congregation goes a long, long, long way. Your love, your little smiles, your little just little acts of kindness from time to time make all the difference. So be encouraged, folk. You're a fantastic church.
Thank you, John. Anyone got a notice to bring? Did you want to say something about new wine, Kathy?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
That's a purposeful...
Well, it's just because it's noisy down there, so with your clunky shoes. The Kapiti Community Kitchen is not going to be the first Saturday in February. It will be the third Saturday. So our first lunch back is the third Saturday in Feb. Thanks. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Just a reminder, in case it's slipped, it just maybe when talking about the first Saturday, the special Waitangi Day celebration at Te Whanga Rongatai Marae on Saturday, the 3rd, not on the 6th. So those of you who've been to those in the past, it's a wonderful experience to go and just experience Waitangi Day in a Marae setting. So that's Saturday the 3rd and not Tuesday the 6th.
New wine. Wes was there, Sue. Yeah. And so was Bert came and Joseph. And Stuart. So New Wine is a camp of about 1,000 people in Wairarapa College. You can sit down now, save your legs. And it's got a meeting place and then sessions for every age group. So for a grandparent raising grandchild who going on holiday with someone two generations away, perfect. So bring your grandchildren or whatever, but it's really good because your children are taken care of and they're in a safe environment. You don't have to know where they are every moment of the day. They're having fun. There's lolly scrambles, there's movies late at night, and they go to bed late. And funny enough, my granddaughter was not terrible afterwards at all. And she stayed up till 10 o'clock and passed, and she normally goes to bed at 8, so... It was just such a blessing. And I got anointed and prayed for. And I was by Saturday night, I was on the preschool team. And so, of course, my tent was over here. And on the other side of the college was the preschool. So by the Saturday night, my arthritis was giving me jip. And I could hardly make it back to my tent. And I got back there and we got a text from Rachel Hogan who said, "Come, Kathy, come. There's a prayer tunnel." And I'm going to Roy, "I can't make it. I need Panadol. I've got to sit down. I can't make it." So midnight that night, I go to the toilet, which is another long way in that direction. Yeah. He wants, yeah. And I got there and I'm in tears from the pain, and I came out and I said, God? And he goes, look up, Kathy, look up. And I just saw all of the stars and the dark heavens. It was beautiful. And I go, I know, you're big, you're strong. We've done this song with the kids, our God is a big and strong. He can do anything for me and my family. And I go, yeah, I know, I know, I know. And he goes, I've got it, Kathy, I've got it. And I go, yeah, I suppose you're going to have someone say, oh, no, someone here's got a sore hip. Can you tell what's happening? That night, I had the night off preschool, and I went to the main meeting, and the guy was okay talking. I was a bit talking on my phone. And then by the end of the sermon, he goes, someone here's got a sore hip, and he was placing it exactly on my right hip, exactly where I had had to sit down for one of the songs. And of course, I was sitting on the third row, just in front of the reserved seats for those important people, and behind the guy who had anointing oil. But he said, you know, all those gather around and place your hand on the hip. And I saw three guys. I said, no, you're not. But Rachel can. And so they prayed for me. But I have just, well, I'm just bubbling. And my hip is still a bit sore. But what is healed is that I know God's got it. What is healed is that God showed me he understood. He knew me. He knew what was happening for me right at that moment. And so I can trust that God's got my hip. God's got whatever